Xfinity from Comcast is proud to sponsor this conversation from Boston Public Radio. More at xfinity.com.
He's Jabrati. I am Marjorie Egan. You're listening to hour number two of Boston Public Radio, 89.7 GBH. Hello again, Jim.
Hello again, Marjorie. So a recent survey by the Greater Boston Food Bank finds that 1.6 million adults in Massachusetts are struggling to get enough to eat, and people of color and families with kids are being hit disproportionately hard. With supplemental federal unemployment benefits set to expire next month, along with enhanced SNAP benefits, will the situation get worse? Could the new child tax credit help to keep families from going hungry? Join us on the line to talk through this is Catherine D'Amato. Catherine is president and CEO of the Greater Boston Food Bank. Catherine, as always, good to talk to you.
Good morning, both of you.
Hey, and Catherine, you. Thanks again for joining us. So Jim just mentioned 1.6 million adults here in Massachusetts struggling to get enough to eat. How does that compare to where we were 6 months ago, a year ago, before the pandemic? What does that figure mean?
Sure. This was a statewide study to look at what did food insecurity look like during COVID and the height of COVID. And that is that one in three. So if we go back to February of 2020, Massachusetts was about, one in 11, one in 12, Eastern Mass about one in 13. And in such, you can see how this took an enormous dive or an enormous increase, whichever way you want to, look at it. And these are and continue to be very striking numbers. We haven't done another study, Jim and Marjorie, but we're looking around one in six, one in seven now. This is pretty much related to when we look at unemployment, when we look at what the economy is doing, and then the individuals that are seeking food. I mean, one of the shocking pieces is that number was one in three. And in that number, a sizable group, over half, were not utilizing federal programs like SNAP, which is the food stamp program. They didn't believe they were eligible. We even saw that people did not feel they were eligible to go to a food pantry in their community. So again, we learned so much about how we need to be able to make sure resources are public, that they're published, that people understand where they can go, that they can go, and that pantries, as an example, are not eligible based. You can go to any pantry. So there was a lot of confusion, and I think that also had to do with a very high volume of people that had never, ever sought food assistance. They had not gone to their local pantry. They didn't know where to go. They didn't know what the guidelines were. So we've learned a lot. We're climbing back to numbers around one in seven, one in eight, and we're working our way. And this Delta variant is really causing a lot of fear and a great deal of it's an odd way to say it. It's stabilizing the need, right? The need is not declining in a significant way.
Yeah, we want to talk about, obviously, if the numbers are going to go up again because of Delta, because of the expiration of some of these federal programs. But from what I read of the research that you did and Mass Inc. did and some other place that I can't remember at the moment, part of it is people not understanding that they're eligible for certain benefits. And I'm curious to know what you do to you and others do to try to educate them. But there continues to be, even in horrible times like we've experienced, the stigma issue. I want to rely only on myself. I don't want government help. So how do you address both those things, a lack of information about eligibility and continued reluctance on the part of some to ask for help?
Great question. And this is not a new issue, Jim. This has been around since I've been working. Massachusetts has a low utilization rate of the SNAP program, and COVID just exacerbated that for people. There is confusion about I work, so I must not be eligible. That's not true. It's an income-based reality. So it's all you can work and receive SNAP, because if you work at a lower wage you're eligible and your family may be eligible. We do a lot of promotion. Project Bread is a significant lead on this in our state. And then there are hundreds, literally, of agencies like the Greater Boston Food Bank that do outreach to specific communities to sign people up, to do education, to get them through a complex 14 plus pages of eligibility. That is part of the problem. You also just get frustrated about proof showing, going, doing. And, you know, there's a lot of support for a universal form where you do one form, and in that form, you can deem whether you're eligible for, your kids are eligible for school meals, your elders are eligible for elder meals, you're eligible for SNAP, you're eligible for WIC. It's stupid that we have such a complex system. I mean it not in, in irreverence to any worker or person that's, that does this, but we can do better.
Who's against the universal? Hey, Catherine D'Amato, who's against the universal form?
Especially when you hear this about rental assistance as well.
Yes,
people can't fill out these laborious forms.
Exactly. It should be there as well. And I mean, I can't say to you, I know who is against it. I think it's a complex system that is so, you know, ingrained right now that it's going to take some advocacy and some hard work on our side and others to really continue to convince our legislature and our individual leaders in our state government to move this. Now, these are federal programs passing through to our state. So they're complex, right? They come through, states have to have plans. We'll get there. I hope in my lifetime, Jim and Marjorie, we'll get there.
That's a hell of a lot of optimism.
I'm old, right? I want to make sure that these things, we need to make it easier for individuals who are eligible to receive be a part of these federal programs.
We're talking to Catherine D'Amato. She's the president and CEO of the Greater Boston Food Bank. So, Catherine, you mentioned that the 1.6 million people are struggling to get enough to eat, and many of them don't know that they can go to food banks or SNAP. So any sense of what these people do? Do they just go hungry? Do they just eat bad things?
Yeah, no, they don't eat well. That's that, you know, we don't monitor whether they eat bad things, Marjorie. I know that's a big concern for you, to make sure that people have access to healthy foods. And we concur with you with the Greater Boston Food Bank. So a lot of people do is they skip meals, they stretch their food. The adults may skip meals to make sure that they feed their children. And obviously during the height of the pandemic, kids were not in school, and kids depend a lot on school meals for a high percentage of their caloric intake. And so therefore there was a lot of scrambling. And the good news is we now know what we're doing, right? We now know how to do it. Hopefully kids will be back in school. There were emergency sites available across the state for school-age children and for children actually 0 to 18, another one of the confusions. All children were able to get these meals. But what we see at the pantry level is our pantries in the network across Eastern Mass, we serve 190 cities and towns, 600 different individual programs doing food distribution. They do a lot of really good work for high nutrient quality foods. Produce, dairy, and protein are the three primary items, and a lot of fresh. This often surprises people because they think, oh, it's dented cans from 1940. No, it's not. It's, you know, it's fresh produce, it's fresh foods, it's proteins, it's meat. Look, we have tofu, we have items for folks that have complex dietary needs. And the pantries do their best to just ensure people that they're welcome, that they can come. But your point is well taken, that people compromise their intake to take care of their children, or they don't know that there are so many amazing, wonderful nutrition programs locally in their community, as well as through federal and state programs.
We're talking to Catherine D'Amato. She's head of the Greater Boston Food Bank. You know, I was about to make the mistake to ask you to list the programs that are available when the expansions expire. I'm not going to do that. Instead, is there a one-stop either if people have access to a computer or if they don't, a phone number where a potentially eligible person can call or go online and find out the spectrum of food programs that they might be eligible for and how to apply for these things?
Yes. I mean, 211, simple.
Oh, really?
Mass 211, dial 211. That is probably the easiest. Project Bread has a great food source hotline, which we can make sure you get. And we'll make sure our team gets you that 800 number. You can go to gbfb.org and go to Need Food, and they're all listed there again. You know, so they are available, Jim, but it is also just how do you take that step? You know, how do you just give that care and comfort to an individual and family that it's okay that you're in a period of time where you need some help? We want people to get back to work, right? We want our economy to work well for everyone. And that is what you outlined in the beginning, right? There are racial disparities. There are differences in the communities that are served across Massachusetts. There are different access points. We need to work harder to make sure that the uncertainty and unpredictable of this economy or unpredictability of this economy is fair for everyone. And that Greater Boston Food Bank is deeply committed to that. I mean, we are going to see some continued volatility. The Delta variant is an exact example of that. It's popping up. It's in particular communities. It's going to come and it's going to go. And food insecurity has enormous consequences and complexity related to it. So those three things are not going to go away.
Catherine, Margie and I have talked a lot about this, the expansion, both in terms of dollars and who's eligible for the child tax credit, that obviously first checks from which went out in July. And so a couple of things there. One, how much of the hole that's created by the end of expansion of some of these food programs does that fill? And number two, here's another situation where there are a lot of new people, because it's refundable, which means in English that you're eligible for the tax credit even if you don't pay anything in federal taxes. A ton of people don't know that, don't understand that. So both things. One is, how much is that going to help? And we all know the statistic, it's going to raise allegedly 50% of poor kids out of poverty. But secondly, who's doing outreach work to ensure that those who are newly eligible know that?
Another great question. The resources that are going to be available and are starting to be available, I mean, you have two things happening, right? You have some resources that are sunsetting, and then you have other resources that are beginning. And there are a variety of agencies, many across our state, that are working together to get the information out to folks to help educate. And the more we can get information into on the ground community-based agencies to share that have trust relationships with their communities, you know, whether that be smaller nonprofits deeper into communities, churches, synagogues. These are very trusted relationships where that trust bridge is there, and you will believe the person and you will maybe step forward and take advantage. I mean, let's not lose also the opportunity with ARPA money coming into our state and to every city and town. I mean, I think your listeners may know that while there's $5.3 billion coming to the state, each one of the 351 cities and towns in Massachusetts also received their own allocation. So this is an opportunity we cannot pass up, right? How do we try to work together to take this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity before us to invest billions of dollars into food security? Massachusetts can be a food secure state. I fully believe that. But it's going to take will, and it's going to take legislative concentration and leadership and advocacy to make that happen. We have the resources. We have the food. We have to connect people in better outreach and understanding to be comfortable and to not fear that help that's being offered to them, especially state and federal. There's a lot more trust in local communities for private resources.
You know, Catherine, we spoke to you last few months ago. Obviously, your legion of volunteers, which is sort of legendary, was down because of COVID protocols. What's the status of that with in terms of your ability to have people doing what they've been doing for ages?
It's still down. I mean, down meaning we went from, 25,000 people, 30 to 50 a day, and we're still working that. What has shifted is the dependency on the volunteers to sort food that has been donated is not where we're focused because, one, donations are down, right? There are many more cash donations than there are food donations. Part of that is just the supply chain. Retailers are able to sell a lot more than they were. Consumers want goods in particular ways. So the waste in the system is less. So we're actually purchasing more food. And we need less volunteers to build those emergency food boxes or to sort produce or to bag oranges or apples or build out boxes of watermelons than we did to sort damaged goods or donated goods of all kinds. So the good news is we need less volunteers to actually execute on the mission because we're buying more and we're shipping more direct to the agencies in our network. If you can take 15 to 20 trailer loads, I'm talking tractor trailer loads a week, out of having to come in to our facility, be unloaded, put in inventory, pulled in inventory, we've been able to do a lot more direct. We've also been doing a lot more family gift cards, where families are given gift cards whereby they can go to the grocery store or they can order online, especially if they have an issue with COVID and they need to be restricted. And it also addresses some of the ethnic choices in food or the ability to choose from a grocery store that pantries just don't always have the capabilities to do. So those are some changes in the business. So that impacts the volunteers.
Catherine, we're getting short on time. So can you quickly tell us about this gleaning organization that's buying this farm in Stonefield? What are gleaners? How is this helping your situation at the Greater Boston Food Bank?
Well, we've worked with Boston Area Gleaners for a long time, and gleaners are historically folks that go into the field, right, and glean what is left. What in California, it's what's left from the machine or what's, doesn't fit the right size. It's too small. It's too big. It's too ugly. You've heard a lot about this. So the Boston Area Gleaners is an awesome organization. We actually purchase a lot of produce from them, and in such, they are, making sure that this land is going to be used for agricultural purposes and really helping their community in a huge way. I mean, the protection of land is important. Water and land are both very important for our future needs of being able to grow food in Massachusetts, in the United States. So it's a very positive story. Anytime that you can see these kinds of resources being secured in communities, they only build communities stronger.
So, Catherine, one more time, if people want information about programs for which they might be eligible or location of pantries, 211, or if they go to your website, gbfb.org, not only can they find out about your organization, donate, volunteer, but also what they're eligible for, correct?
Correct. All those items are listed, and you can also call Project Red. So all of us are in this together. Great. And trying to advance. So we appreciate Jim and Marjorie. You're checking in on us. Please still do. People are hurting. There's volatility. There's concern, and we just want people to remain safe. And our job is to get as much healthy food as possible into these communities.
Good luck to you and Catherine. All of your people, Catherine. Thanks for your
thank
time.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Catherine D'Amato is president and CEO of the Greater Boston Food Bank. And again, we appreciate her time. Coming up, we continue our reopening series with a look at the Cabot Theater in Beverly. What is happening up there regarding reopening? That conversation is next on 89.7 GBH, Boston Public Radio.